And you're on 98.9 at Northwest FM. Hope you're having a nice afternoon and sitting back, relaxing. And don't forget, Pete McMurray will be joining you right on at 2 o'clock with some fantastic music. And what a way to go. Yes, some great music this afternoon. Well, my next guest is here joining me, the lovely Wendy Chamberlain from Chamberlain Property Advocates. And good afternoon, Wendy. How are you?
Good afternoon, Thelma. I am very well, very well.
Yes, you sound well and rested.
Yes. Great start to 2024.
Good, good on you. It's been a bit of a hot year ahead of us, and let's make it all happen. We've got some very interesting topics today, so let's get straight into it. Auction clearance rates. How is that all panning out? And any market updates? And what's in store for 2024?
Yes. Yes, the auctions have just started to kick off for the year. So obviously there's been a hiatus over the Christmas New Year break, and they've just started on the weekend just gone. And there was 947 auctions, which was compared to 369 last year. So many, many more auctions. And interestingly, a clearance rate of 82%, which is a very high clearance rate. That indicates a seller's market when we're in that kind of level. So we are early days into the year, so let's see what happens moving forward. But it just, I think that is kicking off to give us an indication of what might be happening this year as we move into 2024. So there has been, values are trending higher. So what I saw as we went into the Christmas period through December, and I talked to people and I say there are these little pockets of opportunity when you're a buyer. And there was one of those pockets of opportunity in December, in those 3 or 4 weeks, November, December, before Christmas, where the market came off a little bit and there were opportunities to buy homes from vendors who perhaps wanted to move them along before Christmas came through. And I think that opportunity has started to close, if not already closed. And as we move into 2024, we're seeing many more homes come on the market and get listed, because what happens when you come to the end of a year is that Melbourne's an auction town and we like to auction properties. And where there isn't that run time that we need to get a campaign, and 3 to 4 weeks is what an agent likes to have as the auction campaign, where you don't have that time because we've got too close to Christmas, properties get held off. And there were those buying opportunities as a result for us to pick up homes if they were available off-market or pre-Christmas. And all those homes that have been held over to February in this year are the ones that we're seeing to start to come onto the market now. So there certainly are more advertised homes, higher stock levels happening. And very interesting, we are seeing many vendors who are investors, property investors, starting to sell their properties as well.
Well, there's a big shift now with the RBA in interest rates, and where are they heading this year? Because I think they were last week they were talking about it, and it's still on the table, so to speak. So where are we tracking with this?
This is all very interesting, isn't it? So the commentary seems to be far more positive this year out there in the media. And so this, the RBA met on Tuesday and they kept rates on hold. And what I'm hearing from people is that rates will be kept on hold and potentially even rate cuts will start to happen from perhaps August this year. Now, this is all very interesting, because what happens is when the RBA keeps rates on hold or even talks about cutting rates, it gives buyers looking to get into the market a little bit more confidence. So I think buyer sentiment is or has turned, and things, people are far more confident about the market, and this is what drives prices. So I think it's going to start affecting market sentiment in a positive way.
Well, that's a good sign. I think you know, I'd say within the next 6 months. I mean, this is my little prediction anyway. Mm-hmm. It's a Vilma prediction. I think in the next 6 months, I think we might be just sitting. We might just sort of plateau. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's going to depend on look, real estate is based on supply and demand. There's more demand than there is supply for homes. So there was quite a lot of immigration that happened through the year in 2023. So those people need to live somewhere, and initially they will live in rental properties. So where there aren't enough properties for people to live in, this is what causes house prices to increase. We're in a... Every single market is different, because at the moment, if you think about all of the cost of living things that are going on at the moment, the cost of food, fuel, insurances is a big one, because if you have a mortgage on your property, you need to insure it, because the bank requires that you provide a certificate of currency that you've insured your property. So people have to insure their homes to keep their mortgage. So all of these factors coming into the mix here. The other thing that's interesting about, so interest rates have been up, 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 and now they're gone steady for the month, or at least for February, we know that, don't we? And if they start to be cut, then that's going to, as I said, that may kick off confidence for buyers to get into the market.
Mm.
But the other side of the coin we're seeing is that landlords, rental providers, are selling up their properties.
Yes.
So there may be an influx of more of those types of homes coming onto the market. So, yeah, I think it's like let's wait and see how the market settles into 2024.
Okay. Now, this one's an interesting. New government taxes, the COVID debt repayment plan, and also they've got the land tax changes, and that all commences on the 1st of January, and also increases to the land taxes for investors. Tell us a bit about all of that. I mean, that's a little bit of a nightmare, and a lot more coming out of the pocket.
It absolutely is, and this government seems to love taxing. And so as of the 1st of January, and we had spoken about this last year on our get-togethers, Vilma, about introducing a new land tax. They've labelled it the COVID Debt Repayment Plan. And it's a temporary surcharge that's going to apply in addition to the existing land tax. Now, tell me this. Have you ever known a government to take a tax away?
No.
That's my first question. So they're saying it's only for 10 years, it's not permanent. Well, let's be on the radio in 10 years, Bill, and see what they say about that.
That's right. Well, I'm documenting this as we speak, so I'll hold them accountable. So continue.
And so Tim Pallas came out and he quoted, we know some did better out of the pandemic than others. And based on their decision-making, the government, they've decided that rental providers, landlords, did better out of the pandemic, and so they can be slugged with these additional land taxes. And so what it means is that it's an increase to the land tax rate by 0.1% for owners holding land with a taxable value over $300,000, which means they've put up the land tax on people that were already paying land tax, okay? So that's one side of it. But the thing that I think is causing many property owners who are renting them out to renters to decide whether or not they keep the property is that they've also introduced an additional fixed charge. So they've dropped the tax-free threshold for where the land tax kicks in. So it kicks in from $50,000 instead of $300,000 now. So what they're doing is they're scooping up a whole lot of more people that own properties to pay taxes where it's $50,000 or more on the land value. This is not the capital improved value, but it's the land component. Now, many, many people who have an investment property, it may be like a one or two bedroom apartment or little villa unit or townhouse, those folks are now going to get scooped into the pool of having to pay land tax. And what that means is that the economics for many people now of holding an investment property, which they rent out to get an income on it, is no longer as viable or as attractive as it may well have been. So many people, that's why they're making this. I can tell you literally, we purchased a property today for our first time buyer client from an investor who is selling it because they don't want to pay the land tax. And we're seeing this, and I bought, I think, two properties in December for clients from rental providers who are selling them because they don't want to be paying land taxes and the cost of owning the properties. It's going to cause major challenges, I think, moving forward for the rental market, because what is happening when a property is sold because that is a rental, so the rental provider is providing a home that is rented by someone that is renting the property and paying them a weekly rent to do that. When that property is sold, they are not necessarily being purchased again by an investor. They are being purchased by home buyers. And I know this because we're doing it. We're buying them for our clients. And so what that is doing, it's pulling rental properties out of the rental market, which means there's one less home there for someone to be able to rent. And it's putting a squeeze on the rental supply. So all it's going to do is exacerbate the rental crisis. That's what's going to happen. And then add to that another cost that is now being pushed onto a rental provider when they want to sell their property. So first of all, they're now getting flooded with a massive, massive increase on their land tax bill.
Mm.
There's been a legislation from the 1st of January that they cannot now apportion that land tax between the vendor and the purchaser when a contract of sale has been signed. What that means is that if someone is trying to sell their property because they can't afford the land, the figures I've been seeing, I saw something yesterday where land tax went something from $25,000 up to
$125,000.
Oh, gee. And so, okay, if somebody can't afford that, they need to sell their property. But what they've legislated is that you can't then offset that and have the incoming purchaser pay part of that. You still have to pay that bill. So that's some of the legislation that they've created that took effect on the 1st of January. And then there's the windfall gains tax that also came into effect on the 1st of January, which is that vendors are prohibited from passing on to a purchaser any liability that's been assessed as part of the windfall gains tax. And what that tax is that when a... So let's say a property developer goes and buys a farm, and they might find an ad on the outskirts of Melbourne, for example, they might buy a farm. And once the farm is from, let's say it's 20 acres and they subdivide it all up into smaller lots, the value of the property will increase. Well, that uplift on the price, let's say they bought it for $10 million, well, it costs a lot more than that, so that's interesting. Because they bought it for $10 million and once it's all been subdivided and everything is worth $20 million, if it's worth $10 million more, they get a 50% windfall gains tax that the government takes on that uplift. Oh. And it's been legislated they cannot pass it on to the purchaser. So what do you think is going to happen there?
It's interesting.
Cost of housing. Cost of housing is going to go up. That's what's happening.
Yes. It's really a... Yeah, if you don't know your facts, it can be very, very daunting for a lot of people. The business people, I'm sure they'll get the right advice and get their head around it. But for the average person, they certainly need to have the right guidance. Absolutely. Now, we've seen a lot of increase in costs of owing an investment property. What are some of those increases and also how are property investors handling this uptick of costs of owing and owning their own property? Because it must be becoming, I mean, you must hear it all the time. You know, what do you say to these people?
Yes, Vilma, it's getting tough out there for people to make an investment property work for them if they're traditionally just following a negative gearing strategy. And what that means, so traditionally when you... we're talking mum and dad investors here that from the advice of their perhaps their accountant or their financial planner has said, look, to help with offsetting some of your tax, buy an investment property and through negative gearing, you can claim some of that back from the government each year for your tax return. And now negative gearing means that the cost of owning the property is more than the income on the property. So already many people that are providing homes for people through the rentals were not making money on them. They were having to put money out of their pocket into these properties, but they would get a tax benefit as a result. The increased costs that we're seeing, land tax we just discussed, land tax is a big one and we're seeing massive increases in that. They've also introduced these electricity and gas checks every other year. What that means is that you need to, there was an initial check that had to be done, which cost around $500 to $600. And then every other year, you need to get your electricity and your gas check to make sure everything is safe. And that's around about $300 a year. So that's an additional cost that is incurred every single year. There's also a change in legislation that happened a couple of years ago where renter rights have been increased. And, for example, you can, if you're renting and you're renting a house, you can paint the wall whatever colour you like.
Mm.
You can hang pictures, put holes in the walls. You can do whatever you like. There's many changes that have occurred. And what people don't understand is that is an expense that the landlord then, or the rental provider then incurs, because when that person moves out, that home has to be reinstated how it was. And so there's a cost to do that. You've got to get someone in to paint the walls, patch the walls, do all things. And I literally was just talking to my neighbour who was saying that one of her renters has painted the walls green and she didn't want her to do that, but they've gone ahead and done it. But there's nothing you can do about that.
No, exactly.
So that's just another cost of upkeep. And then if you look at the interest rates. So rates have gone up since May of 2022, and I think you're anywhere from, say, 5 to 8% on what you might be paying
for
owning an investment property, depending on your circumstances in the bank, etc. The gross rental yield in Melbourne is 3.5%. So you can see there that even just in the interest rate that you're needing to pay to own the property, if you have a mortgage, is more than the rental yield that you're bringing in as an income. Add to that land tax, gas tax, electricity, everything like that.
Yeah.
So you can see how it's becoming unviable.
Yes, and I think a lot of landlords are starting to realise that, and that's probably why a lot of the properties are going on the market now, because it's just becoming not only a nightmare, but it's hitting the pocket as well. Now, just very quickly before we go, now if you're wanting a free ebook, you certainly can. All you need to do is go to Chamberlain Advocates, all one word, of course, .com.au/NorthwestFM, and if you are a little bit concerned about your property, or just thinking that you need some more assistance and information, please don't hesitate. You can go to inquire@chamberlainadvocates.com.au. And please obtain the free ebook on the website. And I'll repeat that, it's chamberlainadvocates.com.au/NorthwestFM. And please, if you are thinking and you are a landlord yourself and you're thinking, oh God, what do I need to do? All these over costs and even buying a new home, and if you're wanting to buy another home, there's those conditions have all changed as well. So please do inquire there, and it is so important. But very quickly, because I need to move on, but if you are wanting some more information on getting started with property mentoring, tell us a little bit about the program, that would be good for some people that need to sort of educate themselves in what's happening in the marketplace now.
That's right, Bill Thelma. I have a Get Started in Property program that I've created, which is a step-by-step self-paced learning, and it's designed to support you to gain the confidence to buy a home or an investment property. You work along at your own pace through each of the modules, and it's a month by month in the pockets of your time, and you will educate yourself about what is required, all the many, many steps of buying a property.
Absolutely, and please take advantage of that as well, because I think we're in a world that we need to educate ourselves in what we do, and it is really important, and it's another word for saying do your homework and get yourself as much experience as you can and understand the jargon wording in real estate. It is so important, and don't overlook it. And as I said, don't forget the free ebook, which is chamberlainadvocates.com.au/NorthwestFM for your free ebook. Well, look, I'd like to say thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Wendy. Certainly a lot of information to get your head around with the RBA and the market updates, the auction clearance, and also the new government taxes and the recovery payment plan after the COVID. So lots of things, but we'll speak again very soon. Thank you for your time this afternoon, and we'll be speaking very, very soon.
Thanks, Vilma. Always a pleasure.
My pleasure. Have a great afternoon and a great weekend ahead.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.